Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Love Strategy. I'm Nina Atwood, and my purpose is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a great marriage for life. So please listen, call in, and share your dating and relationship stories. Ask the questions that keep you awake at night and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now stay tuned for Love Strategy.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It's Love Strategies. Well, if you're listening to us for the first time, I'm really glad that you found the show. I'm Nina Atwood, and I'm here to tackle your toughest questions about love life and dating and relationships. So do call in with your questions. You can also join me in our chat room right from the show page if you're listening live. If you're downloading this as an iPod later, well, I hope that you'll join me at singlescoach.com for lots more information about dating and relationships. So tonight we're focusing on internet dating. So I have a question for you. Did you know that you have one of the most powerful tools ever created at your fingertips? One that could literally have you happily in love in 3 to 6 months. That's how fast it can happen. Because it is a little thing called the internet. And internet dating is now a $650 million business, probably more than that by now. That statistic is a couple of years old. But as I am telling you this right now on the air, thousands of couples are deciding to marry, and they met on the internet. If you don't know someone right now who's happily married, who met their soulmate on the internet, you will know that person. I personally know half a dozen happily married couples just in my closest friendship circles, all of whom are people who met through an internet-based dating website. So my question for you is this: why aren't you jumping all over this bandwagon? Why aren't you online every single day reaping the harvest of dates at your fingertips? Well, if you're not, it's probably because you've heard a lot of bad stories from people who met someone on a dating site, only to find out later that that person was not all that he seemed to be. He or she was married. He or she was a drug addict, a sex addict, a commitment phobe, a liar, a gold digger, a player, or some other kind of ne'er-do-well, right? Some kind of loser. And if you've heard enough of those stories, then you're going to get very discouraged about the whole thing and perhaps never even try. Or maybe you have tried online dating. Maybe you yourself have done it and you fail to find a quality person. Maybe all you managed to net were some very sleazy people and stalkers. Or maybe you didn't even get a date. Maybe after a month or two you quit, and now you tell yourself and other people, well, online dating doesn't work. I hear that a lot. Online dating doesn't work. But here's the reality. Online dating works just as well as any other method of meeting someone new. If you know how to use it wisely, it works even better than the typical ways of meeting at work, at church, synagogue, through friends, in a bar. The real issue, the reason some people still shy away from it, is the perception of risk. It is the perception that because you meet someone online, it's riskier than meeting them in the real world, that somehow bad things can happen to you by meeting a stranger over the internet. But the reality is, most of the time people are meeting and dating strangers. That's just how the world works. Unless you happen to meet someone through a friend or through your immediate social circle in a venue where you really do know a lot about the person. And I mean really know, not just making assumptions that because you meet them at church, they're okay, but really know a lot about the person. And those are not the typical ways that people meet these days. But the reality is that dating is risky, no matter how you meet someone. No matter where you meet somebody, you take a risk. Sometimes the risk pays off, and other times it doesn't. And if you've been burned by someone from internet dating, you might pull back and you might make the mistake of overgeneralizing. What does that mean? Well, it's sort of like if you ever dated with someone with red hair who hurt you, you may irrationally decide never to date a red-haired person again because, you know, red-haired people have a temper, or red-haired people are afraid of commitment, or red-haired people are, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what you fill in the blank with, because the truth is that having red hair or having any other physical feature or age or whatever it is really has nothing to do with how that relationship worked out. Nor does it matter if you dated someone 5 years younger and it didn't work. It doesn't matter if you dated someone 2 inches shorter than you. You know, whatever the situation, whether or not you met the last, you know, person who didn't work out for you on the internet, at church, or in a bar, it has nothing to do with the outcome. Because relationships work or they don't because of issues that are far deeper than height, weight, hair color, age, or how you met them. Whether or not the relationship worked, whether it took off or it took off and then later crashed and burned, really has nothing to do with where you met them. They stand or they fail because of compatibility, because of emotional readiness or the lack thereof, because of emotional maturity or the lack thereof. That's why relationships stand or fail. So, what we're going to be talking about tonight is how to make internet dating work for you, because it really, believe me, can work for you. It can also not work for you. So I'm going to teach you some things to show you how to make this tool actually work correctly for you. And I'm going to give you some ways to go about it that are far more effective than the way most people typically go about internet dating. So stick with me and stay tuned, because we're going to tackle internet dating tonight. All right. Right now I have a caller calling in, so I'm going to take that call. Shelley?
Yes.
Hi, Shelley. Where are you calling us from?
Hi, Nina. I'm calling from New Jersey.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. How can I help you tonight?
Well, Nina, I've read all your books, and I love them. I've read all four of them, and I love them, and I've been following a lot of what you've said. So, and the internet dating has been going well, and I met a really nice guy. And so I told him I wanted a very paced relationship. So he's been going out with me maybe once a week, and he calls maybe once a week. But now I can't tell if I have a paced relationship or if he has something else going on
mm-hmm.
in between.
So yeah, it can be confusing, so you're asking a great question.
Exactly. I'm a little confused. Maybe everything is going perfectly, and some days I think it might be, but then other days I think, well, it's clear that there's something else that he has going on here. So I'm trying to figure out when I don't call him, I don't invite him to anything, like you recommended, but I'm starting to wonder, like, when does this kind of dynamic change, or is it going in the right direction?
Okay, good. Well, now let me ask you a few questions, Shelley. So first of all, tell me how long it's been since you first made contact with him.
It's been about 2 months.
2 months. Okay. And tell me how you're, first of all, give me your age and his age.
Okay, I'm 56 and he's 58.
Okay, all right. So we're not spring chickens here. We're not
nope.
kids who don't know anything about dating. So that clarifies that. Now tell me how your first date transpired, your first get-in-person date transpired, and how long ago was that?
Okay, well, that was in February, around maybe the 18th of February, and it went very well. We went out and just had, like, a little bit to eat, and we just, like, intellectually, we had great, great conversations. So it went longer than I expected. I expected it to be, like, half an hour, like you recommend, or an hour, but it went, like, 2 hours. So we just, like, relate really well.
Okay, now how? Tell me how he set up that date.
Okay, actually that was a problem because he set it up and then for a different date and I never heard from him, so I just assumed, you know, that something changed or whatever, and he assumed that I would call him when I was done with the meeting that I had, and that was like beyond my comprehension, so I just never called him. So it didn't, we must have different ways of being.
Okay, so how did you finally get together for that date then?
Because he called me and wondered where I was, and I was already back home.
Oh, okay, so it was a misunderstanding about when you were meeting.
Yeah, I think it was a misunderstanding that he thought I would call him and take the initiative, and I just assumed when I didn't hear from him that he had canceled it.
Okay. So he called you and you were back home, and then what did you do? Did you get in your car and go meet him? Or
no? No, I didn't. I told him we had to reboot.
Okay, good.
And so we met like maybe 4 or 5 days later and started over again.
Okay. All right. So now we're at the first date. It's about 2 hours into the date, and then you wrap up the date, and then how did the second date happen? Tell me exactly what he did to initiate the second date. And how long did it take him?
It took him a while. It took him a couple days, and he called me on the phone and asked if I would meet him for dinner another night. So it did take a while.
Well, a couple of days isn't so bad unless you're talking about 7 or 8 days.
No.
Okay. So he asked you for dinner. Okay, and you met him for dinner?
Yep.
Okay.
And the same thing. We had a great time.
Okay. Now, tell me how long it's been since his last significant relationship and how did it end?
I'm not 1,000% sure about how long it was, but it sounded like it was within the year. And he told me that she just had some mental stability issues. And that he had ended it. She just wasn't right.
Okay, how long was he with her?
Only a couple of months.
A couple of months, okay.
Like 3 months, I think.
Okay. And then before that, when was his last significant relationship?
That one, I think, lasted about 2 years.
Okay,
Yeah.
And how did that one end?
I think he was trying to get the divorce, and I think she kind of, there were a lot of problems with it, and I think she decided that it wasn't going to work out.
So she broke up?
Yes.
Okay. And how long has it been since his divorce?
I think 10 years.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So 10 years since he got divorced, and how long was he married?
22.
Okay. And what is, see, when I hear that someone's been divorced for 10 years, then what I want to know is what transpired in those, that's a long time to be single.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, did he have, what have you learned so far about how he has filled that time with relationships? Have they all been short and casual? Has he had anything other than that 1-2 year relationship shortly after his divorce? Has it been since then that he had a serious long-term relationship? What have you learned?
Yeah, he had 3 relationships in that 10 years. And I think one was 2 years, one was 3 years, and then the last one was just a couple months.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now let's go back to how it is that you are spending time with him. So when was the last time you saw him?
I saw him last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday. And what did you do?
I hope he had dinner.
Okay. All right, and then how many times has he called you since then?
He hasn't.
He hasn't. Okay.
No, he will, but that's why I get kind of nervous.
Okay. So, well, now we're on Sunday night, and you saw him Tuesday for dinner, but nothing over the weekend. When was the last time you had a weekend, Friday or Saturday night date with him?
About 2 weeks ago.
Was it? Which night was it?
Saturday.
Okay, so 2 weeks ago you had a Saturday night date, then you didn't have one, and then you had a Tuesday night, and then this whole weekend has gone by without one.
Right.
So that's kind of unusual.
I think so.
That's telling me a couple of things. One is you haven't yet been elevated to the regular Saturday night date status.
No.
Do you know what I mean by that?
I definitely do, and I thought it was going to happen after that Saturday night one, but it didn't.
Yeah, so it didn't happen. It didn't, for some reason, the relationship in his mind has not been elevated to that level yet. Mm-hmm. So, right. And also the infrequency, it sounds like you're seeing him maybe once a week, sometimes twice a week, usually during the week. Is that about right?
That's right.
Okay. So, and have you asked him if he's dating other women that he met over the internet at the same time that he's dating you, or have you not asked that question?
I haven't asked it, but I feel like if I knew how to do it, it's time to do it.
Yeah, maybe so. But let's think about this for a minute. All right. So, right now, he is pacing this relationship, I think, very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this is real slow. This is telling me that he is probably still checking out other women. He's probably going out on other dates with other women that maybe he's meeting them over the internet. I don't know how he's meeting them. It's possible that he is did he say anything to give you any indication that he might still be involved with a past relationship in any kind of way?
No, he didn't, but, you know, I have to wonder.
Yeah, I think I would wonder about that as well. And so either he is just really invested right now in checking out a lot of different women, which is fine. I think that's a healthy thing for somebody to do.
Mm-hmm.
What would not be so healthy if he's in some other kind of entanglement that he's not quite out of and he's checking out other women while he's still entangled with someone, that would not be too cool.
Right.
But let's give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's say that what he's doing is he's checking out a lot of different women, and your relationship with him has not yet been elevated to the level of the regular Saturday night date or any pathway right now to an exclusive relationship. So what are you doing to keep yourself busy with other things while he makes up his mind whether or not he's interested in you? Are you dating anybody else? Are you doing any internet dating still?
Yeah, actually, I am screening people all the time, and I'm in touch with a couple. There's none that are too serious, but I definitely continue to look around, too. I feel like I need to.
Yeah, I think that would be very healthy for you to continue to look around. I wouldn't invest a lot in this one right now, Shelley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really wouldn't suggest that you invest a lot. I definitely don't think that you need to take any action. I think really it's up to him to step up, and if you get to the point emotionally that you're kind of tired of only seeing him once a week or every other week and not hearing from him, then at some point the message that you might want to give him when he calls, I wouldn't call him to give him this message, I would give it to him when he calls, and that would be that I would say something like this. I think I would say, Bill or Bob or whatever your name is, I really like you a lot. And when we get together, we're having a wonderful time. I think our conversations are very stimulating. I think that we have a lot in common. I think we share some common values. I see a lot of potential here, but I don't get the feeling that you do. And maybe you're not intending to send me this kind of a message, but right now I'm getting the message that you know, that I'm just one of many women that you're checking out, but that you're not really that interested. And, you know, that's cool. If you feel that way, it's perfectly fine, because dating is all about finding somebody who is a right fit, and I may not be the right fit for you, but I think I would rather just say no about going out again unless you feel a little more strongly about spending time with me. If, you know, I think that's how I would put it, and I would say, you know, why don't you think about that? And if you reflect and you think, oh my gosh, I think Shelley's really wonderful. I didn't mean to give her that message. I certainly don't want her to think that I am not interested, because I really am. And if you feel that way, you know, don't tell me that now. Just go think about it. And if you do find that you feel that way, then call me back and let's do go out. But I got to tell you, I'm looking for a guy who's showing a lot of intention. If that's you, great. Let's go forward. If that's not you, I think it's probably better that we both keep looking.
That's perfect.
You see?
I haven't known how to bring it around to something. That's a perfect way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's, you know, he doesn't sound like a bad guy in any kind of a way. I don't hear anything negative. I don't hear anything.
Nope.
I don't hear any red flags. I don't hear any yellow flags. I really just hear a guy who is either not aware that he's not showing enough interest, or he really isn't that interested. And I think the best way to deal with a guy like that is to give him a real good chance to exit and save face.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But what I wouldn't do in your shoes, and I wouldn't suggest any woman listening do, is I don't think it's powerful to hang out in a semi-quasi-dating relationship with a guy who's just not stepping up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's disempowering to you.
Right.
Right. Because it puts you in the position of you're starting to get a little bit attached to the guy, you're really getting interested in the guy, but he's just not quite there. He's sort of an amorphous guy that you can't quite get a hold of. I want to see you not settle for that. I want to see you and other women listening to say, hey, you know what? I deserve to have a guy who steps up to the plate. He says, man, I think Shelley is fantastic. I can hardly wait to see Shelley again. You know, when my husband and I were dating, one of the things that made me fall madly in love with him was the fact that he stepped up to the plate big time. I mean, when we had a date, that hardly the phone got cool before he called back again and wanted to see me again. In fact, he wanted to see me more frequently than I felt was healthy. So it gave me a chance to say, not tomorrow night, but how about the night after that?
Mm-hmm.
Or how about two nights from now? It gave me the empowering position as a woman of slightly holding him back. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
And that feels fantastic, I
yeah.
got to tell you. As a woman, that feels fantastic. And if there are any men listening, that is the feeling you want to give to a woman when you're dating her. You don't ever want to give a woman that you really like the feeling that she's kind of waiting for your next phone call. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, because other guys have fallen into that pattern that you're talking about, where they really, really want to see you more than I want to see them. So this is very different.
That's right. And I think that it's not the best situation. I'd rather see you with someone who is stepping forward powerfully. And see, the flip side of that is when a guy is really stepping up to the plate and wants to see you just slightly more than you do him, and you put him off a little bit, if he gets pissy about it, if he gets childish about it, if he acts jealous about it, if he in any kind of a way gives you grief about it, well, that's not the guy that you want to be with either.
Right.
All right? You want to be with a guy who is, you know, what I call a real man. He's self-confident. He's not so emotionally fragile that he needs you to be showing him all the time how wonderful he is and how much you want him, he's self-confident. He knows he's a good guy. He knows he's the kind of a guy that could get a date with someone else. He doesn't feel desperate. And so he can afford to be strong with you, but not be put off the fact that by the fact that, that you don't see him quite as frequently as he is asking.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound?
It feels so right to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels so right because I am starting to like him and I'm not comfortable with this.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just not empowering.
No, it's not empowering and it's just too hard to tell where it's going.
That's exactly right. So
good.
Good.
Thank you so much.
All right, good. Well, good luck with that. And
thank you.
Yeah, do call back and let us know how it's going in the future.
Thank you, I will.
All right, bye, Shelley.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fantastically good fall call from Shelley. And so now we're going to go back a little bit and spend some time on internet dating. But before we do that, we're going to take a little break. So do stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more love strategies.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
All right, we're back with more love strategies, and we're going to talk a little more about internet dating and how to make it really work for you. So do call in if you have questions. Our number again to call in is 347-308-8511. All right, here's the reality about online dating. Every now and then I'll have someone tell me, well, geez, I don't want to do online dating. I've tried it, but I just can't meet anybody good. You know, all the guys I've gone out with are losers. All the women I've gone out with, all that kind of stuff. Okay, here's the thing. Online dating is an ever-changing pool of singles. That's right. It's changing constantly. Right now, someone is coming out of their cocoon of grief over a divorce that was finalized 6 months ago, 9 months ago, a year ago. And that person is going to join a dating site tonight. That person will be putting their irresistible profile up on the internet tonight. Right now, somebody else is getting back online dating someone after dating someone else, maybe for 6 months or so, and 2 months and 3 months and that sort of thing, and it didn't work out. So they're going back online, reactivating their profile right now. Literally thousands of people, as we are speaking right now, are uploading their profiles. That's how many people are on the internet right now. And if you live in a large metropolitan area, and I do, I live in Dallas, Texas, if you live in a large city like that, literally hundreds of people tonight are sitting there uploading their profiles that you could be finding, that you could be searching for, that you could be connecting with within the next few days, within the next couple of weeks. So if you've ever tried online dating and you thought that there are no good people out there, you have cut yourself out of the game. Now, if you've never tried it because you're afraid it won't work perfectly and that you won't meet the perfect person overnight, well, you're right. But that's not a good reason to stay out of the game. Listen, it's unrealistic to think that you're going to get into online dating and immediately have success. Online dating is just like anything else in life that is worth doing. It does take time and effort and planning. You have to do it well in order to get the best results. Now, I've heard single people for years and years tell me their reasons for not using the internet to meet someone. You know, one excuse is, well, there are too many duds and I always get the duds. Another one is, well, no one I care to meet ever responds to my profile, or the ones I do meet turn out to be something less than I thought, or it takes too much time. It's just takes forever to go through all those winks and emails and phone calls and coffee dates to get to a viable person. Well, that's just the beginning of the excuses, but here's what I want you to know. Dating, like any other worthwhile endeavor in your life, takes an investment. It takes an investment of time. It takes an investment of energy. You know, if you've lost your job, would you tell your friends and family that it was just too much trouble to put your resume together and look for another job? Well, of course you wouldn't. You know, that's ridiculous. Now, this is different because, true, your need for food and shelter and clothing does push you out the door to find work, whereas dating can always be postponed. You know, there's always tomorrow. I hear people say this. Oh, well, I'll get back into dating someday. One of these days I'll put a profile up someday, but right now I'm just so busy with work, and I'm so busy with my charities, and I'm so busy with my friends and my travel and my this and my that. So you can always put off dating. But you know, I never hear people say 10 years down the road, well, I'm really glad I put off dating. I'm really glad I put no effort into looking for a great relationship. I'm so glad because I'm just so happy to now be 10 years older and still not have someone wonderful. I never hear people say that. I do hear people say, looking back, you know, I wish I had put a little bit more effort and intention into that part of life. It would have been nice if I had done that, because then maybe so many years would not have gone by and I wouldn't be 10 years older now still looking for someone. So I want to encourage you to get busy, to not let life drift on by. Yeah, you can always postpone dating, but you can't postpone life. Life is going by. This is it. This is not a trial run. This is the real thing. Your life is happening now. So I would encourage you to get a little more life in your life. If you're single and you're not in a relationship now, and you've been through that past relationship, and you've had enough time to do your healing work, your growth work, and you're ready to date, or maybe you think you're close to being ready to date, I want to encourage you to get busy and do it. So, all right, online dating is just a tool. I want you to imagine that you take a hammer out of your toolbox. All right, you can use that hammer to build something wonderful, right? You can pound a nail in to hang a beautiful piece of art. You can construct something wonderful, a piece of furniture, build a birdhouse, I don't know, build a human house. The list goes on and on. You get the drift. You can also use that same hammer to tear something apart, because a tool like that, used the wrong way, can result in anything from a bruised thumb all the way to a hole in the wall to a wrecked piece of furniture or whatever. Well, online dating is just like that. It is a tool that can, if you use it right, bring you face-to-face with the love of your life. Do you have to take some risk in order to yield the rewards you do? But that's true of anything worthwhile in life. All right, so what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Maybe it's time that you put some time and energy into one of the most vital parts of life, love relationships. Take some risk. Make mistakes. You'll learn from them. It's okay to make mistakes, as long as you're learning from it, as long as you're growing from it. All right, but there are a few basic principles for online dating that I want to cover with you, because it really does work, and it works well if you adhere to some of these principles. All right. The first one is to have the right frame of mind. And that frame of mind involves being emotionally ready and having the correct attitude. So you'll realize how important it is to be emotionally ready and have the right attitude when you get out there and you see how many people there are in the online dating world who are not emotionally ready, nor do they have a positive attitude. So I want to encourage you, since you're listening, don't contaminate the pool any more than it already is. Take the time to get ready from the inside out. And then you'll be better able to recognize when someone else is not ready. When you do, when you run into people who are not ready or who don't have the right attitude, don't try to educate them. Just move on and say next. You can send them to my website, singlescoach.com. You can send them to this radio show, and I will educate them. That's what I'm good at. What you need to do is just say next and move on. Let's talk about emotional readiness. So when you are emotionally ready to date online or in any kind of way that you are dating, no matter how you met the person, here's how you know it. You are open to the infinite possibilities out there. You are open-hearted. You're not naive, but you are open-hearted. You are willing to put in the time and energy to use the system appropriately. You are patient. You don't need instant results. All right? When things don't work out, you get back in the game. You don't let yourself become cynical. You treat other people well, realizing the importance of give and take. You're not selfish, but you're also nobody's doormat. All right, you want a relationship, but on no level do you need a relationship. Get the picture? When you're not ready, you may fool yourself into thinking that you are. Well, you wouldn't be alone if you did that, because the internet and all of the local bars and churches and synagogues and office environments are absolutely full of people who will ask you out or go out with you who have no business doing so. They are not open and emotionally available, but unless they have a high level of self-insight, they just don't realize it. You know, well, why is that? Because it's human nature to seek connection, and the number one way that single adults seek connection is through romantic relationships. This drive is so strong that it overrides the thinking part of the brain where we self-evaluate. You know, that part where we self-reflect, introspect, and understand ourselves better. Sometimes, because there is so much drive to connect, we don't stop to reflect on emotional readiness, and we jump in to the dating game too soon. All right. We have a call coming in, so I'm going to take this call before I continue. All right, just a second here. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Nina. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
From Los Angeles. Wonderful. What can I help you with tonight?
Well, my question is about so I'm online, but I only let men contact me first. I do not contact them, because I don't want to put myself in the position of being the male energy. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, tell me how that's going for you.
Well, it's going I'm not getting a flood of men, but I am getting the kinds of men that I want to that I would like to date, because I've made my profile very specific, looking for my soulmate. You know, this is, you know, the kind of man I'm looking for. So those kinds of men are contacting me, but they're kind of few and far between.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple of things may be happening, Tracy. One is everyone really at the end of the day, for the most part, people are looking for a relationship. But what I find, you know, the thing about men is one thing is they're visual. So they want to see a great picture of you. Do you have a good picture on your profile?
Oh, I have an amazing picture. Yes.
What makes it amazing?
Because every man that writes says, "Oh my God, you're gorgeous."
Okay.
And it's not a fake. You know, it's like how I look. So I mean, it's a true picture.
Okay. You're not showing a lot of skin, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're an attractive woman, and they can see that. So that's
yeah.
a plus. That's a plus. That should attract a lot of men to want to ask you out. But the second thing is how you write your profile. So let me just quickly go through a little checklist with you and see if you've got some of this covered. So do you have your age on your profile?
Yes.
And how old are you?
48.
48. Okay. And are you categorized so men are instantly seeing what your age is, or in other words, are you only getting men who are in their 40s or 50s looking for you right now?
Well, I have my preference, my age range that I like, which is between 38 and 53, but I sometimes get men I think they can only contact me if they're between those ages, but sometimes I get much younger and sometimes older.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm glad I asked you that question, because the first thing I hear is I think you need to extend your upper age range. And so you may be thinking, well, I don't want to get any of those old guys that are, you know.
I don't.
All right. But let me ask you this. If there was a guy out there who's 58 years old, in fantastic shape, I mean, looks like a Sean Connery type, would you turn him down?
No.
Right.
Here's my other thing, which kind of throws a wrench. I've never been married,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want children, and I really, really would prefer to be with a man who doesn't have children. So that's really narrow.
Okay. Well,
and I say in my profile,
yeah.
preferably no young children at home, because I'd like you to be free to be spontaneous.
Right. All right, so let me ask it another way. If you met a guy who was absolutely a soulmate, suited for you in ways that you can't even hardly imagine how well suited he is for you, but he happened to have a 15-year-old at home, would you say no to him?
15 is probably okay.
All right.
So
yeah, you see the problem though, it gets difficult to know where to draw the line. When you create restrictions around what kind of people you want to contact you, and those restrictions are fairly tight, then you start asking the question, okay, but if it was just right over that line, would you really say no? Because
mm-hmm.
my experience is that when people meet who are incredibly well suited for one another, those things like the upper boundary of what you think the age is, you know, you've got 53 in there, but would you
yeah.
really turn away a guy who's 54, who is everything you'd ever dreamed of? Do you see
no.
what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I think
yeah,
it
you're
works.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's probably what is getting in your way, is that you've got boundaries around your criteria that are too tight. I would rather see you loosen up those boundaries on your profile and then do your screening when they come forward.
I'm doing it right now. Thank you.
All right.
Awesome. Yes, thanks.
Very good. So let us know if after you change your criteria. I'd loosen the age one way higher. I would say I think I would take the whole children thing out of it and do your screening when they step forward, because you never know when they're going to have circumstances with their children that are very compatible for you.
Okay.
All right. And then let us know. All right, good. So did that help?
That absolutely helped. Thank you so much.
Fabulous. Let us know how it goes.
I will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So that was a great question from Tracy. How is it that you set up your profile for the best results? And so the advice is make your criteria larger and broader, because it is better to cast a wide net and then screen those people as they step forward than it is to cast a very small net, because you won't get the same level of results if you cast a very small net. Okay, very good question. Thank you, Tracy, for calling in. Okay, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more love strategies, so hang in there with us. All right, we're back with more love strategies. So we were talking about knowing your emotional readiness and having the right attitude before you get into internet dating. And so what most people do, I think, that doesn't work so well is they don't stop to reflect on how ready they are. They just jump into the dating game and hope for the best. But, you know, hope is really not a good life strategy. I am suggesting that you do stop and reflect, because you will save yourself and other people a lot of grief. Because if you jump in too soon, you may find yourself crawling back out of the game, kind of bleeding in a few weeks or months. And then it can take a lot of time, weeks, months, even years, to recover from the broken heart that you got. And when you're in a fragile emotional state, your heart breaks a lot more deeply. And it takes a lot longer to heal, because basically it's sort of like going skiing when you have a broken leg. So if you do that and then you fall again, you're going to really get hurt. So and then what that leads to, I think if people jump in inappropriately a couple of times, then they can find themselves in the worst place of all, which is cynical and jaded and certain that there's never going to be a good relationship for you. And of course, if you believe that there's never going to be a good relationship for you, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you don't want that to happen. You know, I had one woman write to me once and share with me the story of two relationships that went badly for her. One of those relationships took place in 1979, and the other one in 2009. That's how long it took her to try again. And she said, I learned from both of these experiences and feel that having a relationship is just not in the stars for me. How sad. You know, that's an extreme case. Most people don't wait 30 years to try again, but it does illustrate the effect of taking risks and not having enough emotional resilience to weather the storm and the disappointments. So that leads me to the number one criteria for how you know you're ready to date, online or not, and that is emotional resilience. The belief that you can handle the disappointment of relationships that don't work out. Emotional resilience is the feeling or the knowledge, the inner awareness that you can be patient. It's when you know that you don't need a person, but you want a person with whom to share your life. Emotional resilience gives you a positive outlook. You believe that most people are fundamentally good and that the world is a good place. Doesn't mean that everybody is good, but for the most part, most people are good, and you feel that way. You feel very positive about human beings in general. You feel hopeful. You know, even when things don't work out, you still have a sense of hope about it. You see things working out. You are able to envision yourself in a good relationship at some point. And you understand that there will be disappointment along the way, even pain. Not devastating pain, but pain, because you're going to protect yourself from devastating pain by listening to love strategies, because I'm going to tell you how to do that. And you recognize that you're capable of recovering from that pain and moving forward, and you see yourself, you know, you don't see yourself as invulnerable, which is impossible. You know, you don't have a coat of armor all around you, but you see yourself as strong, which is normal. All right, so here's some things to tell you that it is too soon to date, whether it's online or not. And one sign that tells you it is too soon is if you are still grieving over a lost love. If you have sadness or depression more days than not, if you're crying, if you see a therapist about it, if you are losing weight, if you are gaining weight, if you're unable to work at your previous level of productivity, or especially if you're unable to work at all, if you're in that kind of grief, it's too soon. Here's another sign. If you're obsessing over a lost love, if you're thinking about them constantly, you're checking Facebook to find out if they've moved on to someone new, you're talking to your friends for hours about every little nuance of the relationship, if you're still having those conversations in your head with the person that you dated, who's not even there anymore, who's not even in the conversation, but you're having those conversations in your head, all that obsessive activity is telling you you're not ready. It's too soon. Here's another sign. You haven't let go of them. All right, you're still emailing your ex. You're still texting your ex. You are still calling your ex. You are still sending messages to your ex through your friends or through your family. You know, I hope you're not doing this, but if you're still showing up at his house or her house, you're sending flowers, you're sending gifts, if you're still in contact, self-generated, generated by you, you're not letting go of him, it's too soon. Here's another sign. If you feel angry or bitter over your past relationship, all of the above obsessive behavior, but from the angle of resentment and anger, if you're speaking negatively about them to other people, you're not ready. If you're insecure, you're terrified of rejection, you are desperate to be loved, you feel a tremendous emptiness inside that nothing will fill. You feel fragile. Those are signs you're not ready. Here's another sign. You feel that tremendous commitment hunger. It's like your biological clock is ticking away, madly and loudly. You have this tremendous sense of urgency about finding someone. Commitment hunger. That's telling you you're not ready. Doesn't work very well to date with commitment hunger because you will not make a good choice. You will jump on the first warm body that you can find. Doesn't work out well that way. All right, here's another sign that you're not ready. Low self-esteem. You have a very difficult time imagining someone worthy choosing you. Now, if that is your issue, if you cannot imagine a good person wanting you, you really do need to get some professional help because oftentimes self-esteem issues like that are a symptom of an underlying depression. And I want to tell you that can be treated. Don't just let it go by. It can be treated. Any kind of untreated mood disorder, depression, bipolar, anxiety, that is impacting your ability to function normally again, you need to get help. You're not ready to date. All right, so I hope that that list helps you self-reflect so that you know whether it is too soon to go online and put your little profile up, because you will just be doing an exercise in futility if you have any of these things going on. And there's a couple of more things I want to cover with you that may be telling you that you're not quite ready to date. One of those is financial issues. Now, we are coming out of a severe economic depression, so the odds are good that there are people who are listening right now who have lost a job through no fault of their own, maybe resulting in a draining of your savings account, maybe having to downsize your lifestyle. Fine, that is perfectly acceptable. It is normal in an economic recession for that to be the case. If you were good with money before, you will be good with it again. If you were very good at holding down a good job for a long time, you will do so again. But if your financial problems predate the recession, if you've had them for a long, long time, or if you have no pathway back to solvency, this may be a chronic issue that you need to resolve before you date. I would suggest, if that is your issue, that you get a life coach, a career coach, to help you, a financial coach. And if you need a financial coach, I can't think of anyone better than Dave Ramsey. He's my absolute hero about how to get out of debt and create wealth. So do check into that. It's one of the best resources around. You can go to daveramsey.com for more about how to get on track financially. But here's the thing. If that is you, you need to deal with the issue because nobody appreciates dating someone who is not capable of pulling their own weight financially. And that goes for men and women. Men don't want to date women who can't pull their own weight financially, and women certainly don't want to date men who cannot pull their own weight financially. All right. So I have a lot more to go over with you about internet dating. We're going to continue next week on love strategies, so do tune back in with us. Thank you for joining us tonight. I want to give a special shout out to Kate, my wonderful producer, and also a special acknowledgement to my loving and devoted husband. Hi, sweetie. All right, stay tuned for one last message and come back and join us next week.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.